Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. New wildfires are cropping up around Alaska. There were 5 new fires detected yesterday, 1 in the northern interior and 4 others in southwest Alaska, the Kenai and Mat-Su. Alaska Fire Service spokesperson Beth Ipson says most of the new blazes have resulted from thunderstorms.
This week we've had an uptick in the amount of lightning seen across Alaska, and some of those did produce some ignitions.
There were over 4,000 lightning strikes in Alaska on Wednesday alone, but Ipson says fire starts were limited by rainfall that accompanied many of the strikes. 8 wildfires are being fought in the state right now, 2 each in the Mat-Su, the Kenai, and southwest Alaska. The other 2 blazes getting attention are the Red Mountain Fire southwest of Bettles and the Oregon Lakes Fire near Delta Junction. With the new fiscal year 3 weeks out, the University of Alaska continues to face budget uncertainty. State legislators have settled on providing the university system with $322 million, a $5 million cut from the current year. But the budget has not been finalized, and it's also unclear if Governor Dunleavy, who proposed a much larger cut, will exercise veto power. Speaking at a region's meeting yesterday, UA President Jim Johnson emphasized the challenge of continued downsizing pressure.
If the story is, oh my God, these people are planning for their demise, that makes it very difficult to advocate strongly for our future.
Regardless of where state funding settles, President Johnson says there will be internal reallocations to focus on priorities and changing dynamics.
New technology and new ways of learning, et cetera, it is important for us to reduce in order to grow in the right way.
Johnson pointed to the recently announced restructuring of UA's HR system and other changes which reduce administrative staffing.
Do we need to fill that position? Is there another way? Do we put 3 hats on that employee instead of just 2? That sort of thing is definitely happening.
Johnson says reductions also continue on the instructional side.
Looking at increasing our full-time student to full-time faculty ratio, reducing positions of adjunct faculty and term faculty positions, increasing the instructional component of our faculty workloads.
Johnson says reviews continue to determine which academic programs should be reduced or eliminated. On the revenue side, Johnson indicated tuition increases will likely continue.
Coming forward in September with a preliminary proposal for academic year 21 and 22.
Also on the revenue front, Johnson identified opportunities to monetize university real estate.
Sales, leases, carbon credits, wetlands conservation banks, etc.
Regents also heard a presentation on expected new federal grant funding opportunities, including for the UAF-owned HAARP facility. The tick-carry disease tularemia has shown up early this year in the interior. Tularemia commonly kills snowshoe hares in interior and south-central Alaska, and the state is warning pet and livestock owners to watch out for the disease. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
It's not unusual for state wildlife and veterinary officials to be getting reports on suspected cases of tularemia right about now. But Fish and Game veterinarian Kimberly Beckman says her office first started getting reports last month of sickly snowshoe hares around Fairbanks and Kenny Lake.
The first calls that I got were about 2 weeks earlier than we usually see.
Beckman reckons that's at least partly because the unusually warm weather that followed the mild winter in those areas allowed the ticks that spread the tularemia bacteria to thrive.
I think it's more of a weather thing. It just seemed to me that we had such an early spring and it was so warm, and it really encourages tick numbers.
With the early onset of the disease comes the usual advisories for pet owners to make sure their cats and dogs don't kill sickened hares or scavenge their carcasses.
Keep an eye on your pets, and if you do find that they have gotten a hold of a sick or dead hare, get it away from them.
Beckman says pet owners should be careful to wear gloves when removing the varmint from the dog's or cat's mouth, or use a plastic bag the same way you'd use one to pick up their poop. And the pet owner should then wash up thoroughly because humans also can catch tularemia. And she says the pet should immediately be taken to a vet if it begins to show signs of the disease.
They're going to be running a fever, so they're going to be lethargic. They won't want to eat, and they'll just be very, very weak.
Despite the warm weather, Beckman says it's odd that the disease is showing up already because there aren't that many snowshoe hares out there.
The hares are now at lower numbers, much lower numbers.
She says the hares are near the point in their 8 to 11 year cycle where the population is bottoming out. And she says that raises an additional risk for pets because the predators that feed on hares, like lynx, have to look elsewhere for prey.
When the hare numbers drop, the lynx numbers take a year or two to drop, you know, because they have less prey. And in the meantime, they are going to be more likely to go after pets.
Beckman works in Fish and Game's Fairbanks office, and she says she's already gotten the carcass of a hare that tests have shown to be infected. She says anyone who'd like to submit a hare carcass they found or a tick that was on it should go online to the Fish and Game website and click on the news and events link for more information. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
A new public safety commission in the city of Nome will provide citizen review and input on police handling of crimes. As KNOM's Emily Hofstetter reports, the ordinance which created the commission contains unique elements which will make it different from similarly titled organizations around the state.
If a Nome citizen has a complaint about police misconduct, they can soon ask the new public safety commission for help. Casey Reynolds, the communications director for the American Civil Liberties Union, says that distinguishes Nome from other public safety commissions in Alaska.
Having an independent body, like a commission that can actually receive complaints, can review them, and then can make recommendations based on what they've seen, is huge. And that goes beyond what you see with the other public safety commissions in Alaska.
The ACLU got involved in creating Nome's commission after being contacted by residents who were concerned about the treatment of Alaska Native women by the Nome police.
So we came in just to offer some suggestions on how we thought the city might be able to proceed better, and they took us up on almost all of those suggestions.
They suggested the commission should have the ability to review completed investigations if a civilian brought forward a misconduct complaint. The ordinance specifically prohibits the commission from investigating cases or interviewing witnesses, but it does have the authority to ensure the Nome police are following their own operating procedures. The commission is advisory in nature. They make recommendations to the city council based off their findings, and further proceedings go from there. Darlene Trigg is a Nome community member who, along with others, advocated on behalf of sexual assault survivors who claim that Nome Police Department hasn't always properly handled their cases.
I don't see this as an oversight commission. I see this as an opportunity for community members to really have a place to share some of the challenging experiences that they may have had and allow the city to have some a space or a place for them to be able to investigate whether or not protocols were followed.
Nome community members have long noted that public safety concerns like sexual and domestic violence are most likely to affect Alaska Native women. But the city's organizations are currently composed of mostly white, non-Native men. The ordinance requires the mayor to consider building a commission that reflects the cultural, racial, and gender makeup of the community. Reporting in Nome, I'm Emily Hofstetter.
And I'm Dan Bross.